to God. Are you fired up this morning? Now that you've praised and worshiped Him, are you ready to hear His Word? If you have your Bible, stand up and hold your Bible above your head and bear witness of God's Word. Take this time to show it to the person around you. Let them know this will be the authority that we're using today. There's no greater authority, right? Amen. Take this time and just be able to greet one another from a distance. And then you may be seated. Turn, if you will, to a couple of places. First of all, Psalms 27. And I'm going to give you your scripture first. We'll read some scripture so that you can see the agenda. Not my agenda, but God's agenda. Psalms 27. Mark your place there. Psalms 105. Mark your place there. And I know some of you are trying to write notes and trying to keep your place, but you can write this down. Psalms 27, Psalms 105. 1 Chronicles 16 and 2 Chronicles 7. 1 Chronicles 16, 2 Chronicles 7. I want to read you this scripture in succession so that you can see the message that I believe that God wants us to hear today. Psalms 27, listen to these two verses. Verse 7 and 8. By the psalmist David. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Psalms 105, verse 1 through 4. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all of his wondrous works. Glory you in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Say that with me. Seek his what? Seek his face forevermore. So we read in Psalms 27, verse 8, David said, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And in Psalms 105, we're commanded, seek ye the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Can you say that with me? Oh, come on. It's one sentence. Seek the Lord in his strength. I guess it is technically two sentences, and so that's my fault, right? Let's say the first one again. Seek the Lord and his strength.
Seek the Lord and his strength.
Now, the second one. Seek his face continually.
Seek his face continually.
Let's say that again. Seek his what?
Face.
How often? One more time. Seek his what?
Face.
Now. 1 Chronicles 7. You know this verse, verse 14. You hear it all the time. You've heard it a lot lately. You hear many people, and especially as we gather in church, we hear it. This was actually the answer of God to Solomon for a prayer that Solomon had prayed. God said this, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and what? Seek my face. Say it again.
Seek my face.
And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now you've heard a lot of people lately, me included, others included, you've said it to somebody. This is what we need to do, right? If we want the situation that we're in straightened out, then we need to recognize this scripture. There's been this overwhelming recognition that we need to turn to God for our help during these troubling times that we've had, right? And how many people have used this verse and said, this is what we need to do? Anybody? Okay. Well, I hope you have. You know, we've been battling COVID-19 since the early part of this year. And then we saw social unrest, and I heard it again, between the burning, the looting, the rioting, which were anything but peaceful, and the upheaval, and all of a sudden your law enforcement, all law of order, and all of a sudden you think about unrest, and so then we hear it again. Hey, listen, we need, God's people need to turn to Him, and call upon His name, and humble ourselves, and pray, and seek His face, and repent. Exactly. And then, as you see the after effects and job loss and economic despair as a result of the pandemic, when you see political agendas which are anti-God, and you see those that are anti-God, that have anti-God agendas, when you see those agendas and you see them being celebrated by the media or by celebrities or even people who are educating other people and they're trying to take a generation, well, all of a sudden, as God's people, we start saying, hey, listen, hey, something's got to happen. We've got to do what it says in 2 Chronicles 7. That's what we need to do. That's the answer. How many people have said that? Raise your hand. I want to see. All right. Maybe somebody else has had a better plan, but for those that raised your hand, this is for you. You see, we've said so many times, this is what the Bible says we should do if we want God to help us. If we want God to help us, then this is our model. And we quote 2 Chronicles 7:14. But the intent of our motive for calling out to God is so that God can help us. Would you agree with that? We call out to God so that He can help us. And you may say, of course, God tells us to cry out to Him and to believe in His power to heal any situation. What I want you to see today is that even though we've come to God needing His help and believing that He can help us, we haven't paid attention to what God needs to see in us. We come to God wanting His helping hand, right? How many people know that when we come to God, we've come to Him saying, God, we've got all these going on. We need Your helping hand. Has anybody prayed that? We do. When we say pray, we pray, God, help us. But we haven't paid attention to even the verse that we're using. And I'm not saying we haven't paid attention. We know that it's a verse of repentance. We know that it's a verse of being able to turn to God because we know He can heal any situation. But God needs us to see something important. And I know I haven't seen this in it, and I know others haven't, or they would have spoken about it, but in these past weeks, as I heard this verse quoted by different people, I just turned to the verse, and it was almost like this was just illuminated, and I began to dig and began to dig, and I realized something. We've been going to God all wrong. We've even been advising people to go to God. Not wrong totally in what we wanted from God, but in what God was seeing from us when we went. We go to God seeking His helping hand. But in this passage, He said something was key. He said, I want you to come to Me seeking My face, not My hand. Think about it. Seek My face, not My hand. You say, what kind of significance does that have? The same as it has to you. Do you realize you were created in the image of God? So I can relate to God. I can relate to God as a human being. For someone that comes to Me just when they need something, or when someone that comes to Me because they want to be close to Me. There's a difference in the way that person or you receive that person, right? I can really relate to it as a father. And here, Father God, He's telling us, come to Me seeking My face, but it's as if we're even condoning, hey, go to God when you need Him and seek His hand. Well, God does tell us to come to Him, but He doesn't tell us to come to Him just seeking His hand. He says, come to Me seeking My face. But I don't want you to take my opinion for it. I want you to see the Scriptures. I want you to turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. When God says seek His face, I want to explain this. He's meaning Seek my personal presence. My personal presence. You see, we're painting God to other people as this being that is out there that we can only get so close to. Do you realize that God created us to have personal fellowship with Him? Our sin stands in the way, but He wanted personal fellowship, but we paint God as this being that's there that we can't get to. And God said, I've been trying since I created man to get to you. I've even made a way for you to get back to me even when you fail me. We need to understand the significance of this phrase that we assume as we claim this scripture. And I'm convinced it's the part of God's command that we assume we are doing when we go to Him for help. But seeking God's face had nothing to do with asking God for help. Seeking God's face has nothing to do with asking Him to help us. I want you to see this scripture in its context. In 1 Corinthians 16, and you know the beautiful thing about the Bible, and I'll probably be all Old Testament today. God gave us the Old Testament as that great pattern to open our mind to show us some things. We'll be in the Old Testament looking at different things, but you'll see how many times, and I read to you how many times the phrase was there, seek my face, seek His face. I want to seek your face. 1 Chronicles 16:11. It's the account of the revival that took place. Yes, the revival that took place when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back into Jerusalem. You see, the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. As it was carried around in the tabernacle and moved from place to place, it was kept in what they called the tent of the meeting, or the tabernacle. It was the mobile place that was set up even as Moses was traveling through the wilderness. It was the presence of God. It was put in the inner place, and God called that the most holy place. That was the presence of God, and men were able to come to God and bring sacrifices to God, but His presence was always going before them, represented in the Ark of the Covenant. Even when they went on their journey, even as they crossed the Jordan River, the Ark had to go first, right? The presence of God. It represented the strength of God, the companionship of God. It represented His presence with them. And they haven't had it in Jerusalem. And David wanted to bring it back to Jerusalem. We could go through the story, and they tried to bring it back wrong a couple of times. They had become lax in the way that they were even listening to God's commands. That's why I think it's so important, this one little part in 2 Chronicles 7, seek my face. I think that's important. If we can get this and leave here today, do you understand? I think our prayer life, I think our relationship with God can take another step. I think we've got a lot of God's people that have been praying for our nation, have been praying for the situation, and even down to your problems that you might have in your home. When we're praying this prayer and saying, if we turn to God and seek His face, but we're not really understanding what He means, seek His face, He's talking about that personal presence. If we can get this right, it can change the outcome of a lot of things. In 1 Chronicles 16, you'll notice in verses 1 through 4, I want you to see just the mood that's there. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifice and peace offerings before God. And when David made an end of the offering of burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he dealt every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone, a loaf of bread, a good piece of meat, and a flagon of wine, and he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. It goes through telling who he put in charge of different things, and then, verse 7, on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Asaph was their music minister, the music director. Listen to the psalm. This is what he delivered. How appropriate, knowing Thanksgiving is coming up, right? Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of His wondrous works. Glory you in His holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Now listen to verse 11. Seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face continually. Now, do you see what he's doing? He's giving a prayer of thanksgiving. But the prayer of thanksgiving has a charge at the end of it. It's saying, in giving thanks, and of course, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, and so you'll hear a lot of people say, and you'll see the little snippets on TV where somebody says, hey, I want to thank my family, and I want to thank this, and I want to thank these people, and I want to thank this, and David said, all thanks goes to God. That's what Thanksgiving is about. That's what it was celebrated as. That's how it began. Thanks to God. David says, seek the Lord. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He's done, His wonders and His judgments of His mouth. What David was declaring was that the greatest privilege, the greatest gift that God's given us is that He's willing to commune with us. Do you realize that? Has God blessed you with health? Has God blessed you with a home? Has He blessed you with some material goods? Has He blessed you with relationships? All of those blessings are not even on the same level with the blessing that God is willing to commune with you. I'm talking about the Creator, the Sustainer of this universe. As I looked out my office this morning, office window, do you realize before the sun came up, there was just this red line around the horizon, knowing that He was getting ready to bring it up again. He was getting ready to wake every bird up, and He had the worm prepared for the bird, right? And that same God was willing to speak to me this morning, knowing I broke His heart so many times, knowing that I had been so selfish in my life and my agenda sometimes. That same God wanted to commune with me if I was willing to seek His face. Our first and greatest priority should be to seek to be in the presence of God. God wants us to want to be close to Him. Like seeking His face continually, that's key. I want you to understand that. Seeking His face continually means you're continually wanting to be in His presence. Now I want you to understand the relatability of this, because you're the same way, probably. Someone that wants to be in your presence continually, that wants to be close to you, that person that calls you every day, the person that's asking you how you're doing, the person that's concerned, the person that wants to be around you. You can read that person, can't you? How do you read that person as compared to the person that you hear from just when they need you to help them? Think about it. You're made in the image of God. How do you think about that? You see, that person that wants to be around you is seeking your face. They want that closeness. You know, even in comparison, that's the way, whether we realize it or not, that we relate to one another. Like when I realized that I wanted to be around Angie. You know, normally I don't really want to talk to, or back then I didn't want to Back then, I didn't want to talk to any woman for too long. But then I realized something about her. I do want to talk to her. Hey, I'll call her. Hey, I haven't talked to her today. I'll call her again. Hey, I'll call her and check on her this evening to make sure she's okay. Hey, what'd you do today? Well, I did this. So, you know what? We're wanting to know. We're wanting to seek. And then as everything progressed, then I couldn't get close enough to her. I wanted to be in her presence, you know? And when I got in her presence, there was something that happened. I'd see her, saw something in her eye. God put something there. Then I began to just want to be closer. And so, as I wanted to be closer, man, I started liking the way she smelled. I wanted to get close enough to smell her. Laugh about it, but hey, right? And man, something about the way she smelled, and I still like the way she smells. And then I wanted to touch her. Wanted to get closer. And then, as close as I could get to her during that stage of our relationship, then I kissed her. Boy, that's face-to-face, isn't it? Get what I'm saying? Face-to-face. And you know, now we hardly separate from each other. Well, we don't say goodbye and here's a kiss. Why? We're coming back face to face, face to face, face to face, face to face. Why? As close as we can get. And as the marriage progresses, God says, I even want you to get closer. Not before the marriage, but after. I want you to get face to face. Why? That's what makes the relationship work. You see, now, God looks at us and says, do you want a face-to-face relationship with me? Or do you just want to contact me every now and then? And I see that in my life, and I look back and I think now, I mean, how many times was somebody begging me to go to church? The presence of God is there, but oh, I had some little saying, well, they're going to do this, or they're going to do this, or they're going to do this. I wasn't near interested in seeking the face of God. And now that same pastor that would say you need to be in church, and I've become that pastor, and then you think there's everything in the world that comes in between us coming and being in His presence. Not just church. You can be in His presence when you're praying. But there's everything that comes in between that. And you realize, hey, how long has it been since I had a really good 5-minute prayer? 10-minute prayer? How long has it been since I came face to face? But that 30-minute sitcom or that Facebook post that you went on and kept responding to and kept looking at, we spent way more than that time on. What were we really seeking? Did we want to seek the face of God? No, we weren't seeking the face of God. I wasn't seeking the face of God before. And God knows it. If I'm to go by 1 Chronicles 7:14, knowing that I'm one of those that's called by His name, if I'm to come to Him and humble myself, that's great. I recognize who God is. I pray, I talk to Him. But I keep thinking and assuming that seeking His face just means going to Him. I'm wrong. Seeking His face means I'm wanting to be close to Him. Personal presence. It wasn't the only case that we read in 1 Chronicles 16. That was the dedication of the ark coming into Jerusalem and the celebration and the worship service. Do you realize in 2 Chronicles, where we get our scripture at, chapter 7, do you realize what this was in response to? Oh, it was another great event. You see, in 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, there was another thanksgiving and praise service. Why? Because that ark was finally brought into the temple. David had this desire, and he said, you know, here I am, and I'm living in this house, and the presence of God doesn't even have a permanent place. God had laid that on his heart. He wanted to build the temple, but he couldn't. Solomon was put in charge of that. And Solomon had a praise service when the temple was finished. It was a dedication service. And men, they praised. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, Solomon had this prayer of dedication. They were dedicating this temple that was built. There was this permanent place that was built for the Ark of the Covenant. And I want you to just get back in this scene for a second. I want to show you how awesome this was. Imagine if you were there. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Listen to this. Now when Solomon had made the end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests could not even enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord's house. That's big, isn't it? The glory of the Lord, that Shekinah glory, filled it so much with His presence that you couldn't even go in. You talk about face to face. His face to face was everywhere, right in there. They were praising God. The presence of God, fire fell from heaven. You say, what do you take from this? Well, I look at this and I think, how How guilty am I, how guilty are we of casually worshiping God? Not face to face, but casually worshiping God. When it's good to me, oh, I'll do the 8 o'clock instead of the 10:30. I'll do the 10:30 instead of 8 o'clock. It works better for me because I've got this plan today, but I can't fit worship in. This was a 7-day celebration, guys. 7-day celebration. When we get to verse 14, verse 12, we see that the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I've heard thy prayer. I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open, my ears attent to the prayer that's made in this place. For now I've chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And we take this verse saying, hey, Solomon said, when all these things come, you come to God and you ask God for help. And that is not what he is saying. He said, when these things come, come to me and seek my face. If you seek my face, you'll get my hand. We come seeking his hand and not getting his face. We become users instead of loving God back. And if anybody gets that, God gets it. There wouldn't be that many references to seek my face. You see, both of these events, think about it. I thought this was neat. The ark coming back to Jerusalem and the dedication of the temple had nothing to do with these people coming to God because they were in need. Neither one of these events were a time of need for them as far as physical or oppression. Do you realize that? God was saying, in the future, if these things happen, you will basically realize you've stopped seeking my face. So come to me seeking my face. Then all these things will happen. Then I can hear you. Then I can see you. But not just coming seeking my hand. Neither one of these events, these great services, had anything to do with them desperately pleading out to God. This was God saying, hey, listen, if you want to feel this way, if you want to have my presence, if you want the fire to come down, if you want the cloud to be among you, if you want to have peace, then seek my face. God's presence was in this temple, and all the worship centered around this temple and the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the middle of the temple called this most holy place. But both of these events were about seeking God's face, not seeking his hand. You say, well, I feel bad for asking God for anything. Don't feel bad for asking God for something unless all you're doing is asking him for something. But if you're just asking him for things and you're not seeking his personal presence, then feel bad. That's called conviction. That's what's supposed to happen when we read this. That's what happened to me when I read it. Today, you might say, well, that's great Old Testament stuff, but how does it relate? Well, here's the application. You see, today, we need to realize the significance of the presence of God in that temple because, as you know, we don't have to go to that temple anymore to experience the presence of God. Glory to God. To everyone, the presence of God is made available through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh that came to this earth. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He was in the beginning, and the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. So we're told about Jesus that he's God in the flesh. He came here so that we could have fellowship. Why? Because sin breaks our fellowships. We can't come face to face with God in fellowship with sin in our life because God's a holy and righteous God. And God said, I want to make a way for you. So he gave his his son Jesus Christ, who was him in the flesh. Jesus walked on this earth for 33 years, and he never sinned. Never sinned, so that he could be that sacrifice. If you're listening today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, know that he wants you to seek his face. You can't be saved till you seek his face. So many people come to God when they go through dilemmas or trials or something is wrong, but they're coming to God to fix things. I know, but understand, God wants to see you coming to him because you love him, because you're turning to him, because he is who he is. Seeking his face, saying, I want to be with you. I want to give my heart to you. I want to give my life to you. Well, that's what I told Angie when I sought her face. That was the second greatest covenant that I ever made, because the first was with Father God. But I made a covenant to seek his face. And then somewhere in my life, I began just seeking his hand. Hello? Can I get a witness? Anybody? And even now, I find myself claiming to seek his face. But the truth of the matter is, so many times I'm just seeking his hand. Fix it, Lord. Fix it, Lord. Just fix it, Lord. You say, well, at least you believe he can fix it. I do. But am I seeking his face continually? I want you to understand significance here. You see, we've got the presence of God that lives in us when we accept Jesus as our Savior. If you've never accepted him today, if you come to him and confess to him who he is, who you are, that he is the one and only true living God, that he loves you, that you believe that he loves you, that you believe he sacrificed Jesus Christ for you as that perfect sacrifice, and that you're a sinner and that you've sinned. If you ask God in heaven, the creator of this universe that wants fellowship with you, if you ask him to forgive you of your sins and, God, come into me, have a personal relationship with me, you're asking God to have his face come near you. You're asking for that personal relationship. That's what God wants. If you do that today, then the presence of God indwells you. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit, which is the presence of God, comes into us to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us, to convict us, to show us. When that happens, then you become the temple. The ark was in the temple. The presence of God is in us when we get saved. What if you're not saved? The presence of God is not in you. I'm sorry, I'd like to make you feel okay, but I can't. The presence of God is not in you if you're not saved. You say, well, you act like you're better. No, I'm not better. I don't deserve it. I'll be the first one. I'm not better. Nobody that's saved is not better. They're just better off. Why? Because the presence of God came into us. So that raises a different question. Solomon was dedicating a temple. In that temple dedication, God was saying, if you come to this place, you humble yourself and you pray and you seek my face, well, knowing that I'm in my temple of God right now because I asked God to come into me, then am I seeking his face in here? With my actions, with my words, with my thoughts. Don't you know what Paul told us? He said, know you not that you are the temple of God? And that your Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. He's the one making the point. Not me, he's the one making the point. And I love 1 Corinthians 6:19. I heard Abigail use this as one of her favorite verses, mine too. The Bible says what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. The breath that he gave you today, Do we use it to complain or to criticize or to demean? The thought, the mind process, the cognitive ability, do we use it to focus on everything but Him and just come back in here and say that we're seeking His face because we give Him this portion of time on a Sunday? Or once in a while on a Sunday? That's not seeking His face. Seeking His face means you want to be around Him, you want to be near Him as much as you can. And if you want to be around Him and want to be near Him as much as you can, that is when He said He will hear from heaven. So we need to understand, because this relates to the scripture that we read in 1 and 2 Chronicles. Solomon was so grateful and humbled that the people had assembled there. And the people were so grateful and humbled that the presence of God was with them, that they praised the Lord. They dedicated the place. They prayed that His presence would continually be evident to them. You know, I know that as Christians, we can have an idea of God, and we can pick up that idea of God every now and then and know that, hey, we're believers. But it's easy when you're doing life to stop seeking the face of God because all these other things that are coming up in your face all the time. One of the things that God condoned the most with the children of Israel was their idolatry. Idolatry was them turning to something else instead of Him. It's important to God. That's why He said, if My people, which are called by My name, will humble themselves and pray and seek My face. That's why David said in Psalms 27, 7 and 8, when God answered David, understand the context, we read this. David started Psalms 27 by saying, hey, Lord, I don't fear anything. Like, think about the mindset he was in. It was a psalm that was beautiful, but listen. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? We've got Christians that are living a life so scared of every little moment, so scared that something might happen, living on the edge, always worried about this or that or this or that, and so anxious. And if someone's watching that light, that's not a light to them. They're thinking, okay, listen, you're living in fear. David was saying, I'm not living in fear. The Lord is my light. He was saying that strength that he had. And this is great. If you would read Psalms 27, and you get down to verse 4, David said, one thing I desire of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. You know what David was saying? This is David. He's had riches. He's had fame. He's had power. He was praying to God. He said, there's one thing, God, one thing that I want more than anything in the world. One thing I want more than anything in the world. And we find out what it was in verse 7 and 8. I want to be close to you. I want that closeness. Listen, verse 7 and 8. He said, hear me, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me. Answer me. This one thing I want. And the Lord said, verse 8, seek my face. You say, how do you know he said seek my face? Because David answered. He said, when thou said seek my face, my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. David was a man after God's own heart. Think of the greatest commandment that Jesus reiterated throughout the New Testament. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength. Right? What was he saying? God wants you to seek his face. Seeking God's face is priority, a priority characteristic. I've got different notes where I went back to the book of Hosea. I don't have time to do it today, but I can give you some of this scripture and you can go back and look. I don't have time to go over it all, but it's beautiful because we know that what this phrase means. In the book of Hosea, Hosea was put in a place as a prophet of God, and he had to learn what it was like to have somebody cheat on him. His wife wasn't faithful to him, and God wanted him to stay with her so he could see how Israel had been to him. He wanted Hosea to live it, and the people wouldn't turn to God. And God said, listen, if you'll come back to me, I'll take you back. It was beautiful. But he said, during this time before you come back, some things might come upon you. And they're coming upon you so that you'll come back and seek my face. And listen, I'm speaking to Christians today. We're the ones that are supposed to be my people, called by my name. We're the ones that are supposed to be going to God. Don't put this on a wicked society. Don't put this on the media. Don't put that. That's the agenda anyway. Look at God's people, because he said, here's the answer. If my people, which are called by my name, if they'll seek my face. He said, we've been coming to God and asking him for help. We've been seeking his hand. God said, seek my face and you'll get my hand. We know this because in Hosea, and beautiful, if you read through that whole story, you can read the whole book of Hosea and you can see this beautiful story. God made this statement through Hosea in Hosea 5, verse 15. He said, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their guilt, until they seek my face in their affliction. Until they seek my face in their affliction. That was his answer. God's answer. I'm going to go back and watch from where I'm at. My presence was going to be with you. I was going to fight your battles. I was going to do all these things. But you're not seeking my face. And we keep wondering, why are all these things happening to us? Why is this happening in my family? Why is this happening here? Why is this happening here? And I go to God and I ask him to help it. Right, let's stop all that and let's just think, are we going to God seeking his face or his hand? God wants us to want him. He's willing to bring us close to him or bring us back close to him if he sees that we really want to be close to him. But God doesn't want us to love him and want us to be close to him just for him to rescue us from whatever problem in life that we're facing right now. He wants us to love him and want to be close to him because of his love for us and our desire to be in a relationship with him. And that's what seeking God's face means. It means seeking to have a face-to-face relationship with God, not a relationship that just calls on him when we need him to do something for us. You know, if you were to go back and just look at the mind of God, even as he told these children of Israel in Deuteronomy, God warned the children of Israel in chapter 4 to be obedient to God and warns them not to turn to idols. Seek his face. Don't seek other gods. Seek my face. Don't seek other agendas. He tells them if they're willing to truly repent and begin to seek God with all their heart and all their soul, that they will find him. Listen to Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence, if thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If you seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, you know what? God's promise is not going to be broken. I'm telling you today, by the authority of God, by the authority of God's word, you're hearing this message today. If you dedicate your temple or rededicate your temple today in a way to where you get on your knees and you pray to God and you say, God, I want to rededicate this temple as focused on seeking your face. He said, you'll find my face. If you seek me with all your heart and soul, you'll find me. I can't give you any better news than that today. We ought to be jumping up and down and praising God. You can actually find God today. You say, well, I found him 33 years ago. Right. Are you any different than somebody that he's watching from afar, waiting for you to seek his face, not his hand? This brings us back to 2 Chronicles 14. As God told 2 Chronicles 7:14, as God told Solomon, if my people, how does it relate to us? If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've come into a covenant relationship with God, you're his people, you're his children. If they will humble themselves, if they will pray, if they will seek his face, if they will turn from their wicked ways, then God will hear them. He'll forgive them. And he'll heal their problem. Part of this command was repentance, but to seek his face is to clearly want to be close to him, personal with him. As I began to study, I actually felt so guilty, but then I felt so good. You see, God never lets you feel guilty and leave you there. He said, if you do what I ask you, seek my face, you'll find me. Where are you looking for your peace at? Where have I been looking for my peace at? Where are you looking for the answers at? You want God to fix it, but he says you fix it by seeking my face. Jesus reiterated in Matthew 6:33 after he talked about, hey, you that worry about everything, didn't God clothe the grass of the field even more beautiful than Solomon's finest robe? Doesn't God feed every bird? Don't worry. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. What he's saying is, listen, we're seeking an answer to the problem. We're seeking God's hand. When God said, you get my hand by seeking my face. We're guilty of going to God as believers and showing God that we're coming to him because we believe he can fix our problem. We even paint God as a fix-it God for everybody. Go to God and he'll fix it for you. Hey, you need to take this to God. First thing you need to take to God is yourself. We want him to fix everything but us, so that when everything is fixed, we can seek everything else we want to seek. God says, if you come to me wanting to have a personal relationship with me, wanting to worship me, recognizing I love you and all that I've done to bring you to me, wanting to be closer and closer and closer, so close that we are constant contact with each other. If my people seek my face and want that closeness with me, not just seek me for what they need me to do, then I will hear them and will heal them. Glory to God. It's the best news I can give you today. It's not good news in realizing that we've missed this key phrase even when we're going to God. But the good news is when God does let you realize it. And he said, if you seek me, you'll find me. Let me ask you, have you sought God's face for salvation? You might be out there and you say, well, I believe in God. The devil believes in God. God says you have to give him your life. Come into a personal relationship, and you can only do that through Jesus Christ. God wants that personal relationship. That's why he sent his son as a sacrifice for our sin. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've never begun to seek God's face. When you want to be close to God, you'll have to accept Jesus. And if you've never done that today, I invite you during this invitation. I'm going to ask Whitney to come on. During this invitation, I invite you to think about it right now. The Bible tells us that if we come to God, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. What does this mean? Saved from separation from God, meaning you can be in the presence of God all the time, that the Holy Spirit comes into the temple which houses the Holy Spirit. And you'll find him. I guarantee you'll find him. But Christian, we know this verse. We've said this verse. But we've always come to God asking for his hand. When's the last time that God would say, they came to me just seeking my face. They just want to be closer. You see, that's what opens his hand to us. You don't do it so he will open his hand. You do it because you get to be in the presence of God. It's a beautiful thing. Maybe you've known these scriptures and you're a believer. But maybe you can look at yourself and say, I know I haven't sought God's face the way I need to. What does God say? Then come on now. This is why I told you. Oh, he's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of second chances. Use this invitation time to make it right and rededicate yourself. Have that revival in yourself like we read about today. That presence, that ark, that presence of God. Dedicate yourself, your body, that temple which the ark, the presence of God is inside of. Dedicate it today. Rededicate it. And pray this prayer, just focusing on seeking his face. I know Whitney didn't know what I was going to preach on when she picked out these songs, but our invitation song I couldn't think about. It says, Lord, I need you. I need you. You know what the Lord wants us to sing to him and to pray to him? I need you. But listen, not to fix all my problems. Lord, I need you for your companionship. And if I've got you for your companionship, then my problems won't seem so bad. Think about it when you sing this. Maybe you want to sing, maybe you want to pray. Please stand. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you, God, for the message you've given us. I pray you would speak during this invitation. I pray, God, that you would listen to the prayers of your children as they lift them up during this time. I thank you, God, for just the truth of your word. Let us see, Lord, how to come to you. Lord, you don't want anything any different than any of us would want. You want somebody to come to us, close to us, because they love us. And God, I ask for forgiveness for those times, Lord, we just come to you because we need you for your hand. We don't need you, Lord, for that personal. Lord, help us and show us to seek your face and not just your hand. In Jesus' name, amen.